few words on APEC-OECD cooperation and why we're all here. This workshop is organized by the OECD Secretariat and the APEC Competition Policy and Deregulation Group. This is the second phase of a multi-year program that is aimed at developing an integrated checklist on regulatory reform that both APEC and OECD member economies can use to improve their regulatory environments. This is an activity that is very much welcomed by the Committee on Trade and Investment of APEC, which oversees this work and sends it to senior officials and ministers for approval eventually. The Committee on Trade and Investment is quite keen to see output-oriented work from its subcommittees, and the fact that the CPD, the Competition Policy and Deregulation Group, is working so hard to develop this checklist with all of you and the OECD is an example that many other groups should follow in our view, because we're working on something very concrete, a checklist. This checklist is still very much a work in progress, and this workshop is aimed at advancing this process. And from speaking with Ernesto and some of the OECD colleagues here, I understand that we're looking for a deliverable, a completed checklist around May of next year. So there's still quite a bit of work that will be involved in preparing it. And then obviously we'll have to see how we use this checklist and how we can help our economies, whether we need to assist in implementation in any way. But that would be for our next phase. And I think without further ado, I will turn the floor to Mr. Rolf Alter from the OECD, who's Deputy Director and Head of Program for Regulatory Reform, Public Governance, and Territorial Development Directorate at the OECD, who's going to say a few opening remarks on behalf of the OECD. And I think Rolf will also talk about the checklist in more detail. So without further ado, I'll ask Mr. Alter to say a few words on behalf of the OECD.
Thank you very much to the Chileans as hosts. Thank you very much to Ernesto to work with us so closely in preparing this meeting. The purpose is, as Alan was already saying, we're trying to move on with the integrated checklist on regulatory reform. And if you bear with me for a few minutes, I just would want to make sure that we all start from a similar level of information about this project. Many of you have been with us throughout the 3 years now that we're working jointly with APEC. Some of you are new, and just to make sure that we are starting and discussing at the same level of information, I would like to say a few words on where this project is coming from and what we would like to achieve. There's no doubt, I think that all of you around the table will agree on that regulatory reform has become a key issue of policies throughout the world. I would really say throughout the world, which sounds perhaps a bit ambitious, but I would still say that's true. We have seen when the OECD started work on this area, we have seen that there were only a very few countries who would subscribe to a concept of regulatory reform. But over time, that has grown relatively quickly. And I think that the fact that OECD and APEC, towards the end of the 90s, developed common sets of principles for regulatory reform is a clear sign that, yes, it is an area that can deliver economic growth, it can deliver more private initiative, and it can deliver more employment. The work between the two organizations and between the two sets of countries was building on simply the experience that a level playing field for flows of trade, of investment, are essential for economic development. And the more those countries would look at similar conditions, the easier it would be for investment to take place and for jobs to be created. In 2000, when we started loosely talking about regulatory reform in the APEC and OECD cooperative initiative, we had a series of workshops where we exchanged really experiences. And within 2 years, everyone was agreeable to the fact that this was a rich and fruitful discussion, so it would make sense to continue. But to continue in what Alan was just calling in an output-oriented way. And therefore the idea was born that we should try to integrate the existing principles on regulatory reform and to make sure that we have a similar understanding. And how would that be done? I think the question was perhaps not so much that we would all agree on the same policies, but we would like to make sure that we all ask the same questions, or similar questions at least. Therefore, the checklist that is to be discussed today and tomorrow asks a set of questions and asks the questions in a way that it definitely leaves room for answers by countries that are different, that are not the same throughout the both sets of countries. Cannot be, because the situations economically, socially, historically are different in each country, and therefore it would be a bit surprising if we had all the same answers. But the questions, at least, we would like to make sure that we raise the relevant one and those that are really helping to focus the mind on what we mean by regulatory reform. And just let me say that I think we wanted to have in our checklist an integration not just between the APEC and OECD principles of regulatory reform. We also wanted to make sure that three policy communities start talking to each other a bit more systematically. Trade, competition, and regulatory quality, these are the three pillars that I think all the countries around the table agree are make sense to put together. There isn't a solution that would just go for competition. Regulatory quality by itself would not make sense, and if we only looked at the trade issue, then we would not speak about regulatory reform. I think we will have in the papers that are presented today and tomorrow very, very good examples of how those three areas have to go together to make sure that conditions for regulatory reform are improved. It is important that we look at those, well, if you like, trade-offs and complementarities between those policy areas when we want to shape a good regulatory policy approach. And don't underestimate, I'm sure many of you who have been working in the OECD area and for that part of the participants today, I think I can speak about our experience. It is not easy to bring these policy communities together. We have seen that in the OECD, whenever we try to make sure that policy communities that are typically organized around committees, when they are supposed to talk to each other, that takes enormous preparations and enormous efforts. And I'm sure that some of the experiences that exist are still very, very much alive when we were talking, for example, about trade and the environment. These were communities that needed discussion, but it wasn't easy to organize in Paris. And I think that's not just because we're not able to do it as quickly as possible, but perhaps also because that dialogue doesn't take place in capitals either to the extent that it was necessary. So I think bringing these policy communities together, think about the concepts, the measures, and look at, let's call it, some kind of performance that they would together aim for is very, very important and very cumbersome process, but very useful, I think, for a good policy approach. And I think there is the third level of integration, which I call here the governance perspective. And I say that because by now, regulatory policy has become much more a mainstream policy area. And no surprise that it would, of course, have to live by what we would like to see as a good governance agenda. It would mean that we have to look for transparency, accountability, and performance in this area, as in many other areas of policy making. So I think there was the idea that if we want to bring those areas together, bring the people together, then we would need to work on this integrated checklist. But we would start by simply saying, if we ask these questions, would that deliver a kind of a self-assessment? If countries would go through these checklists, they would answer the questions to themselves, would that mean that they can describe a bit better where they are in terms of regulatory reform, how much they should have and need to go still, and what is sort of the final objective that they would aim for? I think it is important that one underlines this character of a self-assessment tool, because it means that we have to make sure it is dynamic, because it reflects different stages of development of countries, among countries, and within the development of each country. But also, that we would say it has to be answered in the context of that country. Nevertheless, as you know, the OECD has had for the last 6-7 years a process that was organized around peer reviews for regulatory reform. And each of our countries, many at least of our countries, have volunteered to undergo such an assessment, which starts with some sort of a self-assessment, but where there is also an objective view on what the situation looks like. The OECD member countries have called on the secretariat of the organization to provide this external assessment and then engage in debate and discussion around the committees in the OECD. You know, we call this a peer review process because it is not a discussion between experts from the secretariat and the country. It's a discussion among the delegations, among the participants, among the practitioners of each country to sit around the table and discuss whether or not individual countries are doing the right thing for their own development. And if I may just say here, personally, I would like to really welcome around this table Mrs. Joanna Shelton, who has been the former Deputy Secretary General of the OECD and under whose guidance this program has actually seen the light of day in the OECD. And I think it is fantastic to see you here again and follow the hopefully progress that we'll make from your current place in the US. So thank you very much for being here, Joanna. But let me just say that we would like to see this checklist reflecting these three policy communities, and we would like to see it being a pragmatic tool. If you read, perhaps you had the chance to look a bit at the competition and the regulatory quality pillar of this checklist, you have seen that this has gone through a similar process as it is happening now. It has been discussed among the experts of APEC and OECD, and I think we can see that the comments and the discussions have really enriched the way that these questions are asked, the areas that they cover, and I think they have also benefited from the fact that the subtleties of the 44 countries that are members of APEC and OECD find their space in the questions. But I'm sure more can be done. I just would like to make sure that when you talk about the trade pillar for the next 2 days, the trade-related questions, that we there again use this time to make sure that the questions that we'll raise are the right ones, that they are asked in the right way, and that they leave room for these kinds of differences that simply exist. And I have to say, this morning I had a little discussion where we came across what I would call the reality check. We have to make sure that regulatory policies, the questions that we raise, are really confronting reality in countries, its potential, but also its constraints, and certainly, I think, the experiences when something did go wrong. Let us be honest. Otherwise, we don't want to have an instrument that just is well done for when it is nice weather. Let's just also take it when it's a bit more rainy and gray. So let's be real in the kind of questions that we want to ask. And I think that as this discussion goes on now for today and tomorrow, I hope that we will make not just progress in the output, in the product that we would like to generate, but also make sure that we have among us here a growing understanding what we really mean by not just the checklist, but also by regulatory reform. The process itself is also, I think, a very important contribution to this understanding. My last remark that I would like to make this at the beginning of this discussion, this is, of course, an instrument, a policy instrument, that addresses people that are responsible for regulatory policy in capitals. And in that sense, it reflects experience and it reflects technical understanding. What we thought, Ernesto and I and others, we thought that it would be useful to have an approval of this instrument at the highest possible level of each of the organizations. An approval that would say, yes, this is a kind of instrument that is relevant for many countries, and yes, in the wisdom of both organizations, this is something that we should endorse at a political level. And why would that be important? Because if you look at, let me just say, if you look at the first recommendation that we had in the OECD on regulatory reform, it said no progress without political commitment to such a reform agenda. And I think an approval of these instruments would also generate a first degree of support at the highest political level for regulatory reform. So the idea that it cannot just be a technical discussion, but that we also need to be prepared to become a politically approved instrument, that I think we would need to launch today, and would hope we get to that stage, as Alan was saying, over the next 9 months, and hopefully can then call this a joint APEC-OECD instrument for regulatory reform. Thank you very much.